sunshine with 67 degrees in Kenosha, 65 in Racine. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
And we welcome you to the Thursday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I'm very excited about today's show and today's guest. Her name is Ashley Hansen, and she is Vice President of Enrollment at Carthage. And I should say that in late August, just before the beginning of the school year, the music faculty had a retreat. And one of our guests was Ashley Hansen, coming in to talk about the whole process of recruitment. That is, how do colleges and universities, colleges like Carthage, like Parkside, like Gateway, how do they go about the process of recruiting students? And what are some of the special challenges that are involved in that? And part of the point was the role that, for instance, faculty members can play in that process. In the course of her presentation, I found myself learning so much about the whole business of recruitment and enrollment. And then on top of it, learned more about something that I had only heard a little bit about and really didn't understand the dimensions of, the disaster around FAFSA, which is the federal form that families fill out that sort of determines their need for financial aid and what they are going to be eligible to receive. There were all kinds of problems with the FAFSA form, and that made what was already a complicated process even more difficult, even more challenging. Happily, Carthage emerged from all of that still in very, very good shape with a robust freshman class that has already started the new school year. And now with the school year underway, this is a good time to have Ashley Hansen on the program to talk about this whole business of college enrollment. And we, of course, will be drawing upon the example of Carthage specifically, where both she and I work. But this is a conversation well beyond that. This is not a commercial for Carthage. This is a conversation designed to help everybody understand how this works, how colleges and universities seek to bring new students to their campuses and to become part of what they're doing. A really, really big story. I'm glad we get to explore it today. Ashley Hansen, we welcome you to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg. I'm excited to be here today. One of the things I'm most passionate about is talking about higher education. So even if it's outside the walls of Carthage, I'm really excited to be able to share my experience with your listeners here this morning.
Very good. I think it would be interesting at the outset for people to learn a little more about you, about where you come from originally, and of course your career in higher education, including all of your time at Carthage, which stretches back to 2007. But tell us first of all where you're from originally, and sort of the pathway that led you to this professional life that you've been experiencing.
Absolutely. No one wakes up in the morning and thinks, I'm going to go into college admissions. It's a career unheard of, but it's one that I fell into very early after I graduated from college and have, again, fallen in love with it. But I am born and raised in Minnesota. I went to school in Nebraska, so I went to a private school in Nebraska, ended back up in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area for about a year and a half, working in the business world, selling law books to attorneys on the East Coast. Huh. That's a very good side story to talk about. But then fell in love when I moved over to Wisconsin in 2004 and began my career in higher education. So I was at another small private institution in the state of Wisconsin. And so began my life as a, you know, college admissions counselor on the road, college fairs, high school visits, meeting with students and families, began working with faculty and staff and coaches through recruitment, but then ended up at Carthage in 2007. So in March, I will begin 18 years. Unbelievable that is now the age of the students coming into college now, which is fun. And it has changed dramatically. You know, we always laugh for us who have become career-long admissions folks about how we started recruitment back in the day, where we had to print MapQuest directions to go from high school to high school. And we only had the phone and very limited email to begin recruiting students. And now that has changed, where everyone's getting their information as they're beginning the college search process at their fingertips, whether it be through our website, through social media. Students are making their decisions on based off of social media, what they're seeing on TikTok, Snapchat, and other platforms, Instagram too, which we couldn't have even imagined back in the early 2000s that this is what the college search kind of would have progressed to.
Yeah, well. It's really something. It's sort of the jumping from cassette tapes to streaming. I mean, yes. In terms of all of the ways that the world has changed. Let's just talk for a quick moment about the work that you did at the outset as an admissions counselor. And I've always thought that looks like work that at a glance seems really fun, but the closer you look, the more you realize there are some things about it that I'm sure are really, really challenging, but also really fulfilling.
Yes, that is, I think, when people look at what admissions counselors we do, it's like, oh, they're going in there, they're throwing fun little parties for students, and they're welcoming and meeting them at coffee shops and hanging out with them at their high school and, at college fairs. But our work has become very, very proactive in the fact that we are helping students plan that next journey, especially as it has become so confusing out there. Not only have we become experts in just general, how do you apply to college, but we've become experts in the financial aid field. How do you fill out this FAFSA form? How do I, pull this information from my tax transcripts? What are those special circumstances if families have a loss of a job, loss of income, death of a family member? How does that affect the student's ability to go to college? So we've actually had to become experts in a lot of different areas. And then you tie that in with working with your campus partners. We also have to know a lot about many different majors and, what are the things that you can do while you're in college, but also how is that going to take you life after graduation? One of the things that when I was really intrigued when I came to Carthage is that all of us are directors of admissions and financial aid. And typically at other institutions, you're just an admissions counselor or admissions director. Where here, we're doing that whole piece, and especially the financing. What is a student loan? What is a Parent PLUS loan? What are all of these different financing options that are available to help put this all together? It's not just simply a matter of families. They submit their application for admissions, they're accepted, and now they just write a check for that remaining balance. More and more families are using student loans and payment plans, and how do we talk about that to give parents the information that they need as they're helping to guide their students?
So what you're saying is at Carthage, the admissions counselors are equipped with a great deal of that expertise.
Correct.
And at a lot of places, the admissions counselor role is in a sense, a little more restricted.
Right.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, a lot more back-end work where we're working with the families through those harder, those tougher decisions. And that's why, you know, we've really become that place that even if you don't end up at Carthage, we are going to help you through the college search in general. You know, I know we're going to talk more about this big FAFSA debacle a little bit more here in the show this morning, but the fact that we were, you know, offering financing a college education info sessions when we knew the FAFSA form was going to be delayed and getting that message out, especially to our local community. We work very closely with all of the high schools in Kenosha, also in the kind of the Tri-County area, offering those sessions that are specific to all colleges in general. And so it's not just, you know, this is the how do you finance a Carthage education, but how do you finance a college education?
Mm-hmm. So you were trying to be a source of help during what was a really radically, wildly difficult time for a lot of families. And we'll get to that in just a moment. For those of you just joining us, I'm talking today on the morning show with Ashley Hansen, who is Vice President of Enrollment at Carthage College. She's been at Carthage since 2007 in the whole admissions field, and actually is coming up on her 20th year in higher education in general. So, Ashley, one of the things that was really intriguing to me in the presentation you gave to us, meaning the music faculty, was when you kind of talked us through the long process and also the big number at the outset in terms of, I think, what you call prospects, mm-hmm. Prospective students, and then every step along the way. I wonder if you would talk our listeners through that same process when it is time to recruit for the class of 2025. I mean for freshmen of 2025, where and when does the process begin?
Absolutely. It's, you know, admissions, there's never a downtime. And that's true for most institutions. We are always recruiting, but we are already actively well on our way to recruiting those fall of 2025 students who, for the majority of them, started to hear from colleges like Carthage in their junior year, some maybe even in their sophomore year. Mm. You know, and a common question we get from students and families is, where did you get my name? How did you start reaching out to me? And it's just like, well, there's this beautiful system out there where you, whether you take the PSAT, the SAT, the ACT, whether you go to a college website that allows you to search different institutions. Here in Wisconsin, we have systems such as Naviance and Parchment, which are college search engines for high school students and school counselors. Mm. And students sign up, and institutions like us, we purchase students' names. And so we are beginning to market to them very early on in their sophomore and junior year. Because junior year, a lot of students are beginning their college visits. You know, and we encourage students to visit both big and small, public and private, to really see what is that best fit. You know, students typically like, oh, I see something on social media. I'm really drawn to X school. But you have to visit, step on the campus to see what it's like. Hmm. And, you know, students are also applying to more colleges. So gone are the days where you just apply to one to two schools and you enroll and you're done. You know, most students are applying on average to five schools. I've seen some students apply up to 20. As my public service announcement, that is way too many schools to apply for. You'll get lost in the shuffle of information.
Yeah.
And, you know, and really reinforcing that message that for most institutions, applying to a college doesn't commit you to attending, but it is going to allow you to get all of the information that you need, such as scholarships and financial aid, which is typically the most important decision for students and their families. And so schools can give you that information with that application process. But students are coming into the admissions process at all different time frames. So, you know, high school seniors right now, as they be, you know, kicked off the year here in the Kenosha County area, they are starting, you know, with schools we're coming to visit. We're going to college fairs. We're inviting them to events on campus. Some students are applying rolling admissions. Some are applying early decision, early action. And so we're trying to help students navigate that. What does that all mean? And, you know, students are watching each other, which I think, too, that peer-to-peer within the college search process can be a double-edged sword, because students either feel like they're running behind really quickly, or they're just like, yeah, or that person's, they're done. You know, what does that mean? You know, so they're making decisions, too, off of their peers. But that's what makes this so fun, is that we're starting this very early. So some students, you know, are even, you know, more competitive starting their freshman year. You know, that's probably a little bit too early, as a lot changes. But that junior year is just that critical piece to start that college search. And that's how we end up, you know, at 800 students. It's not just 800 students that apply to Carthage. We have about 7,000 applications a year as students are applying to more than one school. And so we're marketing and helping them to see that there is a place for them here, wherever that here is.
Right. I remember that the timeline you showed us started with prospects, and that was a six-digit figure.
Yes.
I forget, was that like over 200,000?
Yes, it was.
So that would be 200,000 plus students that Carthage reaches out to in some way or another. And then I think it's a five-digit number of students who actually reach out to Carthage.
Correct.
Make inquiries. That's not applying to Carthage, but just reaching out to Carthage for more information. What's your sense of the crossover in terms of like those 30,000 plus who reach out to Carthage to learn about it? Are they all part of the prospects that Carthage reached out to first, or do some of them find Carthage completely on their own even before Carthage has reached out to them?
It's a combination of both. The people in the middle, you know, after we begin marketing to students, those are what we call the hand raisers. So those who have said, yes, I am interested in learning more about your college, you know, please, you know, kind of tap me in. Yes, we will send you some marketing material and emails, again, keeping you up to date. I think there's some fear by students and their families to sign up for information because, again, they feel that, am I committing to something? But I can't say, I can't encourage you enough for students in this college search world, raise your hand. Let them know you're interested so that we can then market to you with what you want. You know, what's your dream job? What do you want to be involved with outside of your academics, whether it be something in the arts or athletics? Let us give you, again, that information. Yes, some students will raise their hand, you know, without doing us doing any marketing, you know, especially as they see things happening through other means. Again, right. Social media is a huge one, and what's happening out there. And they raise their hand, say, yep, I'm interested. I'm applying to Carthage and going through, just coming straight in that way. So it's really a combination of both.
Right. We're speaking with Ashley Hansen, Vice President of Enrollment at Carthage College, and we're talking about kind of the whole world of college and university recruitment. And it is a long process that begins with schools like Carthage or Parkside or Gateway reaching out to prospective students by the score. And, of course, some of those prospective students thinking, well, yes, maybe this college is a good fit. Let me find out more. And, of course, eventually many of them apply, and ultimately most are accepted, and then ultimately a few lay down that deposit and essentially are committing to come to school. So it is already a challenging environment for higher education in a lot of different ways, but this past year was incredibly difficult. We've actually had two morning shows in the last week that have touched on that briefly. President John Swallow from Carthage was here last week, and just 2 days ago, Dr. Lynn Akey, the chancellor of UW-Parkside. And in both of those conversations, this matter of the so-called FAFSA debacle came up. But I wanted to talk about it in a little more detail today with you, because, of course, you and your staff lived it in a unique way. And, of course, came out the other end eventually smiling, but it was a really, really tough year. Explain what first went wrong with FAFSA this past year and the improvement, actually, that was attempted, which just didn't go quite right.
Right. This year, you know, it was so interesting. We think back to the past 4 years, and if we had to phrase or put a phrase around this year in terms of financial aid, this was our most challenging year in my time during higher ed. COVID was definitely the hardest. This was challenging because there was just so many things outside of our control, and just waiting to hear from the federal government in terms of what is happening with this form. The FAFSA form has changed a few times over my time. So back in 2015, there was an overhaul of this form where prior to 2015, students didn't file their FAFSA form until January 1st. So that was the typical method. Schools would then send out financial aid packages in February and March. They wanted to get information earlier to students. So back in 2015, they went to this system called Prior, where we're going to open it up here on October 1 and allow you to use the prior year's tax information versus having to wait till January 1st. So, I mean, that was helpful in many ways because, again, students are making their college decision based off of financial aid. So how can we get information to students sooner? And so we went through that process. But then here they announced that they were going to rehaul the form completely for the 24 school year. They wanted to make the form simpler. They wanted to provide more access to grant programs, whether it be the federal Pell Grant or a state grant, such as the Wisconsin Tuition Grant, and have more people going to college, again, whether it be two-year, four-year, public, private. In their method to make things simpler, they told us from the beginning that the FAFSA form was going to be delayed until December 31st. So happy New Year. Everyone wait on, you know, New Year's Eve to file their FAFSA form.
So that was a delay of about 3 months?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So which allowed us as an institution to continue to market about financing a college education here in October and November. We did see prototypes so that we could speak to this is what the new form looks like. But when the form opened up, you know, so many people were anxious. This is the number one anxiety, especially for parents and family members, is this financial aid. So families were waiting on New Year's Eve, logging in, and the system would be open for, you know, a period of time, whether it be a 4 to 6 hour window, and then it would shut down for maintenance. So that was the whole month of January. It would open and close based off of what the form needed to do and the creators behind the scenes, the coders. And so that was happening the entire month of January. And so for some families, they were able to go in and do it right away. But others were able to go in or they'd be kicked out halfway through. How frustrating to be sitting and filling out this form and then just to be kicked out. It doesn't save your information. But, you know, schools then, you know, we were on the hook early to say, or from the government to say, okay, by the end of January, we're going to then get all of the information over to the colleges and institutions to process. It takes time for us institutions across the board to set up our systems. You know, we have to get updates from the government, update our software, run through testing to make sure that everything works smoothly. And so information was supposed to be coming over to us by the end of the month. But about January 28th, we got the notice from the government saying, hey, unfortunately, we're not ready to send you that information yet. It's going to be until mid-March before we can go through who has submitted, process it, and then we will send you our data. Now we're really behind. You know, our ultimate goal was to begin sending financial aid packages by February. Now we weren't able to do anything till at least March. And so, you know, we made it through continuing to educate students and their families, hosting sessions, again, across the board, whether they ended up at Carthage or not, walking them through the process. Then we get to March, the middle of March, we begin to get the data from the government. So great, we're running tests on our system, beginning to process information, and an email comes out to say, you know, please hold the data that you received. 30% of it is incorrect, but we don't know what 30% is incorrect. Mm. And so again, we want to make sure we're doing best for the students and families. We don't want to send out inaccurate information. So we don't want to tell a student they're eligible for federal funds when in reality, they're not.
Right.
And so working through those scenarios, but then by the end of March, information was getting corrected, and then we were starting to send out full, correct financial aid packages. But they were coming in slowly, and this was for all institutions. So, you know, if you filed your FAFSA form in January, it wasn't a guarantee that the college that you submitted it to received it. We're still receiving financial aid information for students who have already started for the new school year. Yesterday, we just got another batch of information. You know, we're kind of at the mercy of the powers outside of us to process information. And how do we do this well, accurately, and also making sure that families are comfortable? There's a lot of anxiety around this. And so that kind of paints the picture of what happened. But we were able to do a lot of things in the moments to keep families in that place where they were comfortable and that they felt comfortable in making college decisions. And the ramifications of this will go with us for years in terms of, you know, will students who weren't able to file a form this year because the form wasn't working, you know, if they have parents that are undocumented or if they are, for example, in a guardianship or in those type of scenarios, some of those students still haven't been able to file the form. And So what do? Do you stop out? And once you stop, thinking about college, what do? Do you go back?
So, right. Do you try again? And yeah.
Correct.
Wow. As we already touched on, Carthage, one way or another, was still able to bring in a very robust freshman class. In fact, my understanding is when you total up all of the traditional new freshmen and graduate students and transfers, it might be the largest number of new students to Carthage in its history. I mean, certainly close to it. So Carthage managed to do very, very well despite this really, really serious complication. Do you have much sense of if that is an exception? I mean, or is there evidence that for a lot of schools and universities, the effect of this FAFSA debacle was pretty devastating?
You know, I think we were the exception. And, you know, I say that very proudly because I think for a lot of other institutions, staff is not trained at the level that our staff is, you know, having that ability to talk confidently about, you know, terms and acronyms and all of that with families is important. But we, you know, what really added to our success is that we kept students and their families updated along the way. So when we would find out about a delay, let's get that information out to students and families, and let's give them something to follow up with, whether that be a session, a Zoom session with us, so that we can provide that update for you in person, providing a timeline. That made the difference.
As opposed to just leaving families and prospective students in their own worries, mounting worries and frustrations, you really tried to reach out and in a sense, minister to them. I mean, really trying to help them through what was a really, really difficult scary situation.
Absolutely. Because the last thing, too, you don't want them going to the web trying to find answers to find out, like, you know, what is the process. There's so many groups out there that were spreading misinformation. And so being able to get that accurate information out. But then also working with our community-based organizations, our school counselors in the area, you know, making sure that they were part of that conversation, keeping them up to date. You know, school counselors have such a big job. They're not only helping students with, you know, life, mental health issues, but they're also helping them through their college search. Mm. And how do we provide information to them that they can easily take back to their students and families? Because they have a wide reach as well. So that was part of our goal, too, is working directly with our community-based partners to make sure that they felt comfortable with talking to their students and their families. I mentioned earlier, you know, we held financing a college education webinars across the country, from Washington State to Florida, everything in between, again, giving them accurate information. And then once we were able to do more with the FAFSA form, like, everyone needs this thing called an FSA ID. Fancy word for password. Every student, every family member who fills it out needs their own FSA ID. Even that part, like having students come to campus, sitting down in a computer lab and helping them set up their username and password, kind of removing some of those barriers, which to some of us is like, oh, that seems pretty simple to do. But, you know, just giving them the confidence to sit down and have that piece done.
Wow. One of the things I'm sure that was a big relief to you is not only that despite this huge difficulty, so many people sort of stayed the course and endured all the frustrations and showed up. And then my understanding from President Swallow is that almost everybody who said they were coming came.
Yes.
And that points to the fact that sometimes that first day when freshmen arrive, you have a certain number of no-shows, and that's something that happens everywhere. But there was a very, very small rate of that. So the people you were expecting to come, by and large, came.
Yes, that is, I think, the goal of any institution. You want the people who said they're coming to show and then be in that classroom that first day. And so, yes, we had very low to almost non-existent no-show rate. And so, again, it was that communication for the students and their families. The college search process, it's a big investment, not only dollar-wise, yes, of course, but when you think about those big life purchases, house, car, college education, there's a lot of paperwork with going to college. And so, you know, students in the summer months have to go through the onboarding process, you know, for almost every institution, filling out paperwork, uploading immunization records, emergency contact information. And that, again, can be overwhelming, especially for a first-generation college family, which over a third of our students are first-generation at Carthage. So, again, you know, we have leaned into Zoom in a good way still. You know, some of us still have PTSD when we were living in Zoom completely, but using it to our advantage now, like, you know, having summer sessions. You received your summer packet, your onboarding instructions. Let's do that together, where we are hosting that. We are logging in as a student and doing the onboarding with them right on the screen. All of those pieces help, you know, minimize at the end, again, because students feel confident going into the school year because they have those things done. And then moving into scenarios, you know, I know this is outside of our topic of, you know, financial aid, but our students at Carthage, when they arrived on campus for check-in, their books were ready for them. As we have equitable access, where all students pay $182 a semester for all of their course material, so that they were leaving check-in, they were going to their first class with their books at an affordable price. All of that makes the difference, especially in this very, very complicated college search process.
Right. And I think it seems to me that it's about putting yourself in the shoes of your new students and their families, and anticipating what will be a source of fear and anxiety, and doing what you can to help them through that. I'm reminded of something Chancellor Akey told me about Parkside, that one of the things that they do there, almost all of their academic activity is in one big sprawling building, but it's a little complicated the way it's laid out. It's a wonderful facility, but not easy to navigate for a newcomer, and they actually have a thing where you can come to some place and they will walk you through your whole schedule. They'll walk you to where your first class is, and then they'll walk you to your second, not in real time, but I mean, over the course of a few minutes, they will show you where everything is for all of your classes. And that walkthrough, I just thought that was a perfect example, very similar to some of the things you've described at Carthage, where it's like, let's make this as good as it can be in terms of a positive experience, and try to take away kind of the ancillary anxieties that just kind of rob you of, you know, your focus and your joy at the outset of this new adventure.
Yes, meeting students where they're at is such an important part, but also meeting them where they're at, but pulling them forward at the same time. I mean, the students, you know, for my recruiters, for my staff, who right now it was like a slingshot yesterday. Well, you know, as you know, as we're starting the new year, the new recruitment year, I'm putting them in a slingshot, and then they're launching to all these different college fairs and high school visits. You know, but really getting to the heart of what the student needs is important, and reminding my staff as they're meeting with students, the students today are not like we were X many years ago. Their needs are different, their concerns are different, and so how do we really get to the heart of that quickly so that we can tell them about all the different things that are in place so they can move to the next level, no matter what type of education it is? You know, how do we move them to the next level?
You've already touched on social media, and of course I find social media to be a really interesting thing because it's really easy to access it, you know, relatively speaking. But on the other hand, it's such a vast universe and there's so many voices out there. So isn't it a challenge to utilize social media in such a way that you penetrate? I mean, and you reach the people you want to reach in this vast sea of all kinds of voices from all kinds of other places that are also vying for their attention.
Yes. And whether we agree with it or not, social media is here to stay. I mean, I think back, gosh, it was 2007 when I had my first Facebook account, and different generations are using different platforms as well. It is a double-edged sword because this is where most people are going to get their information, whether it be the daily news or specific things that they're interested in, but the college search. And you know, if students are using very different platforms than their parents are using, you know, to tell a high schooler to go look something up on Facebook, that's just archaic, and that's okay. You know, they're living more in the instant world of Instagram, Snapchat, you know, in some of those ways, if the content is a little refreshed more quickly. TikTok is, I mean, it's not going away. I haven't got into TikTok myself personally. But students are going there and looking up colleges. They want to see students like them in the settings. You know, and parents are going to Facebook because they want to see students that are like their students and where they can connect with community, other parents going through the college search process. You know, there's larger groups out there. Paying for College 101 is a site that I'm a part of. It's on Facebook, but it's where parents and families across the country are going through the college search process. And some of them are starting as eighth graders.
Wow.
And but how do we, you know, and I think we also is teaching the all generations how to use these search engines well. And, you know, but again, students, they have that fear of missing out as they see other peers, whether it be a large institution, Big Ten football, you know, what does that mean if I go to a smaller school, Division III athletics? Well, actually, you're going to have the same experience. It's just going to be a little bit smaller, but you're going to have game day experiences. You're going to do that. And so, like, I think that's too where some of the students get lost. They see their friends, oh, I should be doing that. Mm. Well, social media only tells us the good pictures. How many times do we post a picture of something going really wrong?
Right.
Very
right.
rarely. So, yeah. you know, so I like it. It allows us to hit different platforms of students and meet them where they're at. And we work really closely with marketing and communications where we're creating different content. And let's use it for good. Let's show students how to use this for good and help them build that life that they want.
Right. By the way, I went to chapel 2 days ago and was sitting in the same pew as a young man who I didn't recognize. So I introduced myself afterwards. He turned out to be a freshman from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds all of us that although places like Carthage and Parkside and Gateway largely draw from the local area, by no means is that the full picture. Just how vast is the outreach of Carthage in terms of the students that are brought to campus, and from how far do some of them come to be part of Carthage?
This I love, you know, in terms of the reach. You know, Carthage is getting wider and wider every day. Kenosha is getting wider and wider every day. And so we have students from 38 different states in 23 countries. And so much of that is, yes, our location. You know, that is what draws students in. When they see that mailer to that we send out to 300,000 plus students that has that aerial photo of Lake Michigan, that's always the hook. Like, what is this? Is it real? Is always the question. It's and so it's like, yes. And they come because of that hook. And then they see all of the great opportunities that we have, not only at Carthage, but in this area, being halfway between Milwaukee and Chicago. For that student you just mentioned from New Mexico, he can be on an airplane at O'Hare in 50 minutes or Milwaukee in 30. That allows access. Our international students, they have that access. But more importantly, they see the value of job shadowing, internships, the industry that is in the area here, the fact that we have so many of the Fortune 500 companies right here in our backyard. That's what students are looking for. But yet they can have the Lakeview, they can have downtown Kenosha, the farmers market, the restaurants, but then you have the movie theaters, you have all the shopping. That's what students want. They kind of want to have the best of both worlds. And that's why students end up here, because we're providing. And more importantly, a lot of these students are staying in the area after they leave. They're helping to fill our needs, you know, whether it be in healthcare, education, other industry. We're helping to meet the needs of the region too, which I love. It just tells a full picture of what these institutions are doing for our area.
Fantastic. Of course, a couple of the challenges, one of them is this thing called the demographic cliff, that is the number of students in each high school graduating class is diminishing. So that's a sobering mathematical reality that's a challenge not only for Carthage, but all students of higher education, and it, in a sense, raises the stakes of recruitment. But the other thing that you touched on before you even went on the air is the fact that there is a certain level of suspicion, of mistrust in a certain part of the general public, by no means the entire public, but there's a fairly substantial swath of the general public that has grown mistrustful of higher education and what it stands for and what it offers. What kind of a challenge is that? And is that something that you and your colleagues think about, and are you in a position to mitigate that at all, to do something about that?
Yes, we've been talking about these challenges for 10 years already, and as faculty at Carthage have also been involved in this conversation, you know, very early on awareness. What does a cliff mean? Well, you know, back in a few years ago, 18 years ago, families were having less children, which means less people graduating from high school, which means less people going on. And higher education, there's 5,000 colleges and universities across the country. That's significant. And so this cliff is coming, 2026, where we are going to be at the lowest birth rate since 2007, 2008. So that's been a known for many, many years. And we, as an institution, how do we mitigate that? How do we make sure that we're offering programs that are relevant? How we added nursing, engineering. We have a CNA program now, which is not a traditional four-year degree, but it's a certificate program, adding things undergraduate programs such as sports management, product management. You know, so again, it's not just maybe those traditional programming that people think about, but expanding what we're already doing. And then you add in the second component you mentioned, which is lack of trust in education, which has happened over time, you know, in terms of, you know, is college worth it? Is the message that's going out? If students are coming out with high debt and low paying jobs, what does that mean? You know, for some students, it's just like, well, I can go straight into the workforce and earn $25 an hour. I'm working at a factory or an organization that can be very intriguing to somebody at 18, you know, but talking about that long term, what does that mean?
Is that the life you want?
Correct. Yeah. And so that has come in, and especially now as we're seeing institutions, some institutions are closing their doors, and that's okay. You know, maybe they're not offering the right programs. They're not in an area where students are. Rural location colleges are going to have a really tough go of it as well, because what does that mean for that job shadowing, internships, the things that the students want? And then we added this FAFSA debacle on top of it, which really accelerated the first two things. You know, so that, like, why would I go? It's too hard. There's too many forms. I can't afford it. I don't want to fill out this form. Lack of, you know, if fewer parents are involved in the process. And so as we get into 2026, we are really going to be at kind of the lowest point. We are seeing that by 2030, things will start to maybe even back out a little bit. But, Greg, the thing I'll add as well is that there is a growing population of students. The Hispanic population is growing, especially here in the Midwest. And so how do we reach out to families in regards to education opportunities? At Carthage, 20% of our students identify as Hispanic. And so we have a bilingual recruiter, Raphael, who works with families, especially if parents don't speak English, to help guide them through the college search process. We have now created a very significant amount of our marketing material in Spanish so that families can feel confident and look at the higher education opportunities available for their students as well. So there is some positive information coming out of this cliff, and we're really trying to meet students and families where they're at. If depending on, you know, for the Hispanic population, how do we help parents feel more comfortable as they send their students on?
Yeah, in a sense, it's an incredible challenge, but also one that is invigorating in a sense. I mean, it forces you and all of us who are part of higher education, first of all, to rethink what we do and how we do it, and how can we do it to the very, very best extent of our abilities. And that's part of what life is all about. And anyway, I'm so glad to have you here to kind of talk about, first of all, the complexity of all this, and more specifically, the way in which Carthage has gone about trying to do the business of recruitment in a way that is really student-centered and family-centered, and the results certainly speak for themselves. Ashley Hansen, Vice President of Enrollment, it's been wonderful to have you here for this long overdue visit to the morning show, and I hope that in the future we can have future conversations as well about the important work that you and your colleagues do.
Absolutely. And to share with any of the listeners, my team is here to help. Like, if you just want to have that general college search conversation, call me. My information is on the web. Let's have that conversation, whether you want Carthage or another institution. Let's start the conversation to make sure that your family has all the information that they need to make the best decision for your student.
Well put. Ashley Hansen, thank you again for being on the morning show today. Tomorrow on the morning show, something a little out of the ordinary, we'll be spending most of the hour with Jerry Cooney. You might know that name if you have been a fan of boxing over the last few years. Jerry Cooney was the number one heavyweight champion contender for some years and was nicknamed Gentleman Jerry. And as a matter of fact, that's the title of his newly published memoir, Gentleman Jerry. And I'll be speaking with Jerry Cooney on part one of tomorrow's morning show. The morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. You'll find the morning show archived on our website, WGTD.org. Today is going to be sunny and quite warm. We're headed for a high today of 87 degrees. Overnight, a 50% chance of rain with a low of 55. Much more mild tomorrow. Friday, partly sunny and a high of 68. Saturday, sunny and 66. Sunday, sunny and 72. Warming up a little bit early next week. This is WGTDHD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.